So,
Hi there, I'm hoping to speak to Miss Stacey Leonard.
yeah, speaking.
Hi Stacey, it's Daniel here calling from MMA Legal. Hi there, I was just calling to conduct your witness statement. Are you still available?
Yeah.
Brilliant, I'll just take you through data protection. Can I take the first line of your address, please?
George Road.
Your email address?
STACDECRIL1610@gmail.com.
Brilliant. And just your date of birth, please, Stacey.
20/04/88.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that. So, yeah, with the witness statement, just to make you aware that you're in full control of this call. So, if you want to make yourself comfortable before we start by getting yourself a cup of tea or a drink or something, then please do. And if you want to take a break anywhere between the witness statement, just let me know. You want to go take 5 minutes away. If you want to, if you smoke, you need to go outside for a cigarette, then please do just let me know. Like I say, you're in full control of this call. All right, Stacey.
Yeah.
So, are you happy to continue today? Do you feel
Yeah.
comfortable and happy? Yep.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant. So, do you need anyone with you at all?
No.
No, no worries. And do you understand the purpose of the statement
Yeah.
and agree to for it to be used for your Scottish redress application?
Yeah.
Right, brilliant. So the first section of the witness statement is just a little bit about your personal background and entry into care.
Okay.
So, where was it that you grew up and who did you live with before care?
I lived with my mum and my grandfather when I was about five. I was removed from them due to sexual abuse and physical abuse.
Right. If there is any quietness in the call, I'm just writing up the notes. I want to make
Yeah.
sure that I get everything down. So you live with your mum and grandfather, did you say?
Yeah, my siblings as well.
And what was your home life like before care?
Absolute chaotic, like,
Chaotic.
yeah. My mom clearly couldn't look after us.
Mother couldn't look after you. And what was your mother's health like?
Poor, she suffered lots of abuse herself, and it manifested in the abuse carrying on to her children, and she just couldn't cope, so she actually
Yeah.
ended up in Sunnyside Hospital.
Right. And how did you come to enter care? Who was it that made the decision?
The social worker.
Social
I was
worker.
actually left with my mum's friend for my mum to go out, and she had phoned and reported it to social work that my mum was neglecting her kids, and we were
Right.
removed that night by two social workers and the police.
And were you told why this happened at the time?
No. It was just said that my mum couldn't look after us.
Yeah. Did you have any siblings and were you separated
Yeah.
from them?
Yeah.
Who was your siblings that you were separated from?
My brother and my sister.
So, did you say how old you were when you first entered care? Did you say you were 5 years old?
Yeah.
5 years old. And how did you feel at the time when you were entering care?
To be honest, relieved. Like, I wasn't going to take any more beatings or wasn't
Yeah.
going to put up with any more sexual abuse. So I was relieved, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I was scared of being on my own.
So, is there anything important about your childhood health, learning needs, vulnerability, or name history that should be recorded, you feel like?
So I was later diagnosed with personality disorder.
And when did that diagnosis happen? How old were you?
About 2002, I think.
Well, there was nothing that you were diagnosed with at the time. So when you were younger in care, was there nothing that came
I
up?
was a difficult child, so that's why I was separated from my siblings.
Right.
But I wasn't diagnosed with anything, just the carer had said that I was difficult and that she couldn't
Yeah.
manage the three of us together.
Right. Right, so that's the first part, your personal background entry into care completed. So the next section is just a quick confirmation of your care chronology. So we've got down that it was your removal from home, entry into care in 1994, and you were placed with a Mr. and Mrs. Konachi in 1994 until June 1995, and then it was an emergency move to Irene Claffery or
But that's
Claffery.
because I was a difficult child. That is the move.
Yeah, right.
So Irene Claffey, she lived in Ardbill. She was fabulous.
Yeah, brilliant. So the first section of your placements, going to ask about your time with Mr. and Mrs. Konachi. So just want to let you know that if these questions are a bit too personal for yourself and you want to take a break, just let me know, all right?
Okay.
Thank you. So in just a brief sentence, could you tell me what your daily life was like
Living hell.
living hell with Mr. and Mrs. Konachi? Yeah. So what was the accommodation like, your room that you stayed in? Was
So we
it
had a bucket to use the toilet. We weren't allowed out of our rooms at bedtime.
right? Terrific.
She was just brutal. She blamed me for absolutely everything that went wrong in the house, but she had five of her own kids and three kids that are severely traumatized at this point by her own upbringing from her mum.
Yeah.
She constantly picked on me. Like, if I sat in the front of the car, she would tell me to get to the back of the car.
Yeah. Just to
She would
just
take all our toys off of us.
right. Take. Right, and what was the food like that was provided for you at this?
Pizza all the time. It was constantly pizza.
Just pizza.
Yeah, like,
Right.
take
And there
my
was no
pizza.
options. You couldn't ask for something else.
No, and I hate pizza.
And did you voice that opinion? Did you tell them that you
Yeah, and that's
didn't
when I
like
was
it?
difficult.
Right. So what was the routines like? So your morning routine, what time were you woken up?
I'm
What
not
time did you
sure.
go
I
to
can't
bed?
remember.
Can't remember. Would you say not much of a routine there, or?
No, there couldn't have been, because she was erratic. She was all over the place.
And were you provided clothes, like clothes when you first came into care with Mr. and
Yeah,
Mrs. Granacci?
because we had absolutely nothing.
What was the hygiene situation like? Were you provided with your own soaps, your own razors, anything that you'd need for your personal hygiene, were you provided for?
Yes.
So it was just Mr. and Mrs. Kanachi that were at this foster home. Is that
Yeah,
correct?
with the 5 kids.
Yeah. And so what were they like with yourself day to day?
Just constantly picked at everything I did. They were just not very understanding or supportive of, like, my mum kept letting us down for contact and stuff, which was hard.
So did they let you have contact with your mother?
Yeah.
How often was that contact?
I think it was like once a month.
Once a month. Did you try for more contact and were.
I kept asking, but social worker said no.
Right. Were there any rules that you can remember of? Any rules that were set in place or punishments for not doing certain things?
Punishments were she would take everything we had off of us and lock us in the bedroom.
So you'd be isolated away in your
Yeah.
bedroom as a punishment.
At the end of it was like every day I was being punished for something I hadn't actually done.
Punished for things you haven't done. So now, obviously, looking back at your time in care, was there anything that happened that you would now consider as abuse?
So when I moved to the Ellis's,
Just in Mr. and Mrs. Kanachi's?
no,
No. So no sort of emotional abuse,
but
physical
yeah, there
abuse
was
or
emotional. I
neglect.
don't really
There was
think about that.
emotional abuse, yeah. So like the like you were saying before, you weren't allowed to have any sort of options when it came to food, things like that.
She wasn't very emotionally understanding, like there's a lot of emotional abuse.
Yeah.
It was like, stop crying, get in your bed, be quiet, blah blah blah.
Yeah. What were the other children like to you at this care setting?
They didn't know have anything to do with me because they were getting older. They were like teenagers.
Right, so you didn't have much contact with them.
No.
So, what immediate effects did you experience after your time at Mr. and Mrs. Kanachi's? So, did you have any sort of sleep problems? Did you feel like running away from the place, or did you have any
Yeah,
behavior or
absolutely.
school changes?
It was behavioral. Started wetting the bed.
Did anyone witness this sort of thing happen, you know, where you were not given any sort of emotional understanding? Did anyone witness that sort of thing? Any other children?
I'm not sure, but they were later fired, so they couldn't be foster carers anymore because I think the complaints just piled up against them.
Right. The section for Mr. and Mrs. Kanachi finished. So, just quickly, did you tell anyone at the time, or did you try and get help about what was happening?
I said to the social worker at the time, Elizabeth Ross, but Barbara Cowan.
And what did you tell Elizabeth?
That they were being horrible to me, like I hadn't done things, but they were punishing me for it. She had locked us in the bedroom with a bucket for using the toilet.
Could you explain what was different about this care setting to your other ones? Obviously, after going through three different foster care settings, what was different about this one?
The lack of support and understanding, then making us eat pizza even though I didn't like it. It was like eat it or starve.
Yeah. So next, we're going to move on to your setting with Irene Claffey, S49 Millfield Road.
Yeah.
So could you just tell me what type of care setting was this? I've got it down as a foster home. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
And could you tell me, I think you brushed over it before, you were emergency moved due to them telling you that you were a difficult child.
Irene was absolutely fabulous. She had all the time in the world because I was an only.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a one placement. So I was devastated and heartbroken at being split from my brother and sister. I was literally on my own.
Yeah.
But she made me feel like part of her own family.
Yeah. So, what was the accommodation like with Irene then?
Like a 4-bedroom house, I think. And she had like a grown up, well, not grown up, but a teenage daughter at the time.
Yeah, so it's just the same sort of questions that I was asking before, as the same as Mr. and Mrs. Kanachi. So,
Okay.
what was the food like, the routines, things like that?
Routines were tight structure, like we would go to bed at 7 o'clock, we would be up by 7:30, we would be expected to get ready for school. You got toast and cereal for breakfast, you got whatever you want to do, you pack lunch for school. It was just totally different, like I can't
Yeah.
even tell you in words.
And in terms of hygiene there, I imagine they
Bad every
provided everything that you
second
needed.
night. Yeah. Had to go to church on a Saturday.
Church on a Saturday.
Yeah. That was the worst bit, but
Right. So, and clothing, were you provided with clothing from
yeah.
Irene as well? And contact with your mother. Was that
Yeah,
regular?
but not very often. Like, I think my mum's health deteriorated.
Right. So, were there any other children with this foster place with Irene?
Eventually, she got another placement of another child.
And what were they like with you?
Absolutely fine, like they were nice enough. Different. We actually became really good friends, and then she went to her forever home.
One other placement child you had a very good relationship with.
Yeah.
And just the same question before, would you consider now that you're a bit older, would you consider anything happening there that you would consider as abuse?
No.
No. And how would you describe this care home as being different to your previous?
She was kind, she was loving, she treated me like her own. I wasn't made to feel like I was different or.
All right, so that concludes the placement with Irene. I'm going to move on to the next one after that with Sue and Rod Ellis. So same sort of questions again. Sorry if it seems a bit repetitive. So what type of setting was it, and how long were you there for?
I was there till I was 18, so from when I was 10 till I was 18.
And it's a foster home again, is it?
Yeah.
From 10 years old to 18.
This point, I was reunited with my siblings. It was our forever home.
Reunited with siblings there as well.
Yeah.
Right, so again, what was your ordinary life like with Sue and Rod Ellis?
To start with, it was horrible because I'd been like an only child for 3 years, and then all of a sudden I was meant to bond with my brother.
Yeah.
I then had trust issues, so it took me a long time to let them in and
Yeah.
open up to them.
So, what was the routines like with Sue and Rod Ellis?
There wasn't really any routines, to be honest. It was
No
like
routines.
run wild. They were actually reported to social services for having us run out by like all hours.
And the food there was
The food was all right, to be honest. It was always like something different.
yeah, you were given options.
Yeah.
And the in terms of hygiene, and was clothing provided for you?
Yes.
And what was your relationship like with the other children there?
To be honest, there were so many of them. Some of them were all right, but others were like mentally not well, and like had threatened to stab Soon Rod and off their head on drugs, and one of the boys that had sexually assaulted me.
One of the other children there.
Yeah.
So that was going to be my next question. Was there anything that happened there that you would now consider as abuse? So I've got down that you were assaulted by one of the children there. Is there
As
anything else?
abused by their son as well when I was 15.
By Soon Rod Ellis' son.
Yeah.
And did you report this at all?
Even my partner now had reported it to the police a couple of weeks ago because I couldn't.
Right. Well, there was no reporting at the time. I know it does seem like a silly
No.
question. It's not an easy thing. No.
To be honest, I never spoke about it to anyone apart from Stephen.
Right. You're doing amazingly well opening up. So, could you remember any names other than, of course, Sue and Rod? Could you remember any names that were involved in this sort of abuse?
Colin Simpson.
Callum Simpson.
No, Colin.
Colin Simpson, sorry.
Yeah.
And was that the son, was it?
No, that's the other child.
Quite an important subject, the subject of abuse. I just have to ask a few questions about that, if that's okay. So, could you give me an example of what happened, where, and when it occurred?
So it occurred in Colin's bedroom. I needed cigarettes, and he said, "I'll get you cigarettes if you let me rub my bits between your boobs." And
Right.
then he tried to have sex with me, but he didn't know how. And this is when I was about 14.
Apologies about the short breaks. I'm just trying to
That's
make
okay.
sure I get everything down. So was this just a one-time occurrence, or did it
No, this
happen
was like more than once.
multiple times? Could you
Yeah.
tell me how often it happened?
Like every other week until he moved out.
And could you tell me what immediate effects you feel like this had on yourself? So, any sort of fear, shame, sleeping
Shame,
problems?
guilt, couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, developed anorexia, ended up at Cornhill in Aberdeen.
Did anyone else witness this abuse?
I never told anyone. I haven't told anyone to this day because of the guilt and the shame.
Yeah. So again, could you describe how this care setting was different to your other ones?
No, as I got older, like the abuse just seemed normal because everybody seemed to do it.
That concludes your care settings notes written up. Just want to make sure that I've got everything down. Is there anything else that you feel like I have missed out of those care settings that we've not touched on that you'd like to get across?
I don't think so.
Right. So, across all of the placements, who do you feel like were the main people responsible?
Alan McConaughey and the Ellis's.
Sorry, did you say, could you just spell that first name for me?
A-N-N-E.
And were other children affected, and did you witness any sort of abuse to anyone else?
So my sister was abused.
And she told you about this, or did you witness this?
She reported it to the police. There was a police investigation, and the Ellis's had said to me, like, can you go and speak to your sister while we speak to social work? And I had fallen out with my sister because I thought she was lying. And they bribed me with 200 cigarettes to go and speak to her for 5 minutes.
Yeah. You said the police didn't believe your sister when the investigation was.
My sister retracted her statement because everybody kept saying, your sister will never speak to you again. She wants nothing more to do with you. Like getting in her head.
And that was people that were at Sue and Rod Ellis's.
Yeah, and people that were asked to look after her when she was removed from the Ellis's.
And do you believe the staff or the institution knew about this or should have known?
Should have known.
Should have known. And the complaints that your sister made, would you say that they were ignored or punished?
Oh, they were very punished.
And what sort of punishments were those?
Like psychological abuse, like your sister will never talk to you again, she wants nothing more to do with you, everybody will hate you, you're lying. I didn't know she was lying.
Were you ever threatened?
No.
So you said your sister did report this to the police.
Yeah.
Did you self report this to the police at all?
No.
No. So when you were being moved between these placements, were the reasons explained to you at all?
No. Just that I had to go and live with forever family with my brother and sister, but I didn't get a say in it or.
Yeah, and you've said before you were led to believe that it was your fault that you were being moved around.
Yeah. Because I'm a difficult child, blah, blah, blah.
Did you ever try to run away?
I always run away. I even tried to take my own life. I didn't want to be here anymore.
Yeah. And what happened when you tried to run away?
I got taken back every time.
Was this by police or social workers?
Please, social workers, do you ever find me at the time?
So you mentioned you were 18 years old when you left care. And what were your circumstances like after you left care?
I don't know, things were chaotic. I was drinking a lot. I felt like I was 18, so it's like, right, you've got to go because you don't fit the paycheck anymore.
Yeah,
They were meant to
that's
be a forever
awful.
family and not like, but actually on condition that you leave.
Yeah, that's absolutely awful. So, did you go into a flat or a house when you were
Flat.
leaving care?
By myself, and then I had Declan pretty quickly. I think I was 20. Yeah, I was 20 when I had Declan.
Yeah.
But the relationship was toxic, and like I made him leave because he was actually hitting me and shoving me into things and.
Yeah. So, how would you explain this experience affecting you at the time after you've come out of care when you're 18? So, how
I
would
was
you explain
broken.
it?
I was turning to alcohol again after stopping for so long. I just felt unwanted, like I didn't have a place.
Yeah. Would you say you had any sort of trust issues or
Oh, yeah,
relationship
definitely.
issues?
Both.
And how would you say this has affected your physical health, such as your sleep, any sort of chronic pain?
I don't sleep very well, but I have been medicated for helping to like sedate me at night time. I obviously have a personality disorder which I'm medicated for as well. I don't have any friends, or I literally just have my kids, and
Yeah.
I'm leaving a domestic violence relationship on Monday. So that's the plan, to get out and take the kids with me and go.
Yeah, absolutely. Our friends. So, how would you say it's affected your relationships?
Trust issues, not opening up to them, can't communicate.
And has this affected your education process or your work, your day-to-day stability?
Yeah, definitely. Like, my mood's all over the place. Feeling if I got a job, I probably wouldn't last very long because my mood's that awful, like most of the day. I just want to sleep all the time. I don't know. The only thing I'm here for is my kids, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you had any jobs since coming out of care when you were 18?
Nope.
Would you say there are any sort of triggers for yourself, any sort of smells, authority
Banging,
figures?
shouting.
And any sort of situations that you like to avoid?
High conflict. Like, I don't like arguing or people raising their voices, or that I get scared very easily. Like, the slightest noise, I'm like, what's that? I need to know, like, I need to be able to see at all times and hear, so like, I can't wear headphones or hats or.
Yeah. So overall, what sort of impact would you say this has had on your life?
Don't know.
So, what do you think may have been different if it had not happened to you?
I might have friends, I might have a job, I might have like.
No, these are really sensitive questions. I do apologize about that, Stacey. You're doing amazing now.
I just want to be happy and have peace and. But I can't do that.
Right, so that concludes the impact section of the witness statement. I'm just moving on. We're not too far off the end now, Stacey.
Okay.
Only a few more questions. So, have you received any sort of counseling, therapy, or mental health addiction or
Yes.
professional support at all? Yes, what sort of support have you received?
A psychiatrist, I've got a social worker, like an adult social worker. I did counseling as well. And I'm currently under TCA doing counseling with them for a gambling addiction.
So, you have a psychiatrist, adult social worker. You went to something about the gambling addiction. What was that? Sorry.
TCA.
questions, just have you been diagnosed with any relevant condition? I know you mentioned before about your personality disorder.
Anxiety and depression.
And what sort of support are you receiving for your personality disorder and anxiety and depression?
So I receive medication. I see the social worker once a week. I've got women's aid as well who help, like just a vent session.
How often is the women's mental health session?
Pretty much like every week.
And what medication is it that you're taking for your personality disorder?
Aripiprazole.
And anything for your anxiety and depression?
Propranolol.
So we're coming to the end of the witness statement now, Stacey. I just need to ask a few regular questions. So, have you previously made any civil claim, criminal injuries claim, or redress applications prior to this?
No.
And did you receive any payment, apologies?